My dear listeners, today we have one of the top economic, I would say, wizards of the Wall Street in our program. Professor Jamie Siegel is the professor of finance at the Wharton School of University. He majored in mathematics and economics of Columbia University, and he obtained a PhD from MIT. At MIT, he studied under two Nobel Prize winners, both awarded in economic science. He also discovered a phenomenon called Siegel Paradox. Furthermore, he has written three books: Stock for the Long Run, The Future for Investors, Revolution on Wall Street. So that being said, we are grateful to have Professor Jamie Siegel live in our program. Mr. Siegel, welcome to our radio program.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Very good, very good. Well, we have listeners all over the world listening to this, and I'm sure they're all excited to see what do you think about where we're heading. So our first question is, Professor, where do you see the cryptocurrency in the future? Would it be important asset and a part of our investors, you know, portfolio, or where do you see we going with this cryptocurrency?
A very good question. The future of cryptocurrency, in my opinion, will be based on whether they can make the cryptocurrency into a medium of exchange. What I mean by that is that more prices are denominated in cryptocurrencies rather than dollars or euros or yen. So far, there's only been limited ability to do that. What is an advantage of cryptocurrencies is you can send it around the world, and especially internationally, at lower costs for most people than banks. So, for instance, I think our banking system needs to be more efficient. If it doesn't stay efficient, cryptocurrencies could be the currency of choice for people to transfer funds across borders where they don't have to go through exchanges. Now, the advantage of something like Bitcoin is that it has limited supply. So it's somewhat like gold. Now, we know a long history of gold. Its return is just slightly over inflation in the long run. Not as good as stocks, but about on par of what bonds are today, although not historically. So in order to get a better return, we have to have growth that would be dominated by it being adopted as a means of transferring wealth and purchasing power.
Fantastic. Professor, as cryptocurrency gets stronger, do you see any threat to dollar, to U.S. dollar?
Well, I think that it puts all reserve currencies, and I mean that by mostly the dollar and the euro, which are the world's almost 90% of the world's reserve currencies, on notice. Do not inflate your currency and make your transactions system as efficient as possible. To the extent they inflate it or add inefficiencies to transfer, that would tend to favor cryptocurrencies in the future. However, we do know that the cost of transferring cryptocurrencies today is more than a bank wire, which can be transferred at 8, 7, 6 basis points if it's done efficiently. So if the banking system could allow for very low-cost electronic transfers, that would be a negative for cryptocurrency. However, if they don't, it would be a positive for cryptocurrency.
Fantastic, fantastic. Professor Siegel, I will ask you my second question. You have implied that most inflation is behind us. Do you see prices coming down? Will we ever see the prices decrease back to where it used to be, the normal way of living?
We won't see prices go down. Remember, there's a difference between inflation going down and prices going down. Well, no, we are permanently higher in prices. We want to bring inflation back down to the 2.5% level. And I don't think on the official statistics, it will be done very soon. And I have voiced the opinion on major networks that the official statistics are lagged, that we actually had 10 or 12% inflation last year, only recorded as 8 or 9. It will continue to come in through the rental and home prices, which are actually beginning to soften in the current markets, but you will see them in the official statistics for many months to come.
Fantastic. You know, obviously, our station is in California, and we see really a big inflated prices in grocery stores and all of that. We're feeling that a little bit more maybe in California than everywhere else. But do you think raising the interest rates by federal government is eventually going to speed it up? And is it that going to happen this year, or do you see this spilling over to next year?
So what caused our current inflation was all the fiscal spending done for COVID that was accommodated by the central bank. The central bank should not have bought all the bonds that the government sold for its project. We would have had a rise in interest rates much earlier, and we would not have the inflation problem that we have today. But they did buy those bonds and created more money in 2020 than in any other year of our 150-year history of monetary statistics. It continued to be very rapid growth in 2021. But as they began to raise interest rates this year, the money supply growth has stopped, and that is necessary to stop the inflation. So we are on the course now to stop the inflation. I am not going to forgive them because they shouldn't have acted much earlier, but we are on course now to bring that inflation back down to more reasonable levels over the next year.
Very good, Professor. Few weeks back on CNBC, you said we are in a mild recession. Considering your opinion, is it now a good time to invest? Because good old rule in Wall Street says when people are selling, you buy, and when they're buying, you sell. So where do we stand with that question?
Yeah, well, definitely want to go against the popular opinion. I said we're in a mild recession because we have two quarters of negative GDP, first and second. And by the way, we're halfway through this quarter, but so far estimates are very small positive. What we have is a very big puzzle because we've added over 3 million workers so far and yet have not had increased output. That implies that productivity has plunged at an all-time record rate that we don't really understand why. Is it COVID? Are people staying home and not working? What is going on? How can we add 3.2 million jobs as we have since January and have negative GDP? Hopefully, productivity will improve and the economy will pick up in the second half of the year. But at this particular point, we still see very sluggish GDP growth.
Very, very well said, Professor. Dr. Siegel, in California, especially Southern California or Northern California, it doesn't make a difference. Most of my Persian listeners are heavily invested in real estate, and they have concentrated assets, sometimes up to 90% of their portfolio in real estate. A little scary, but very common way of investing in our community. With that recent rise in interest rate, do you see the effect in the real estate market already? What do you see happening in the future for the residential market and commercial market, please?
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to congratulate because certainly over time, California real estate has done very well. And if they've been doing it for a long time, they've done very well. Now, across all markets, they've done everyone has done well over the last 2 years, 2.5 years since COVID, although for the first time, many Californians have not done as well as other places in the United States, which have seen 40 or 50 or 60% rises in prices. My feeling is that prices are softening right now. When I talk to real estate agents in the market, they say they're not getting those wild bidding wars the way they did 3, 6, 9 months ago. And in fact, prices are softening. I think we have reached the peak of real estate prices, and you will see a come down, not a big crash, but you will see a softening of 10 and maybe 15% in certainly the hot markets in real estate. So I would definitely urge those people to begin to diversify into stocks. You've made good gains, but you know, shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket.
I've been saying that for many, many years, but Professor, are they listening? I don't know.
Well, they don't tell us, we know. And although for the first time ever, from what I've read, you know, San Francisco as a city, the real estate market is actually one of the weakest in the United States. That has never happened before. You know, whether it's due to the homeless problems and other crime problems, et cetera, and so on. So some real estate has not even participated in this gigantic run-up that we've seen in most other places in the country.
Yeah, I've noticed that in San Francisco. We also noticed that in Los Angeles. Just for you to know, Professor, the radio station that we're doing the interview today is on it's West Los Angeles. Just to get one bedroom apartment, I would say maybe 1,200 or 1,100 square feet, you're looking at $1.2, $1.3 million. I just thought that.
Come to Philadelphia, where I live. You will get it much cheaper.
Yeah.
Yes, no, we know prices are sky high, and rentals have gone up dramatically. But from what I'm hearing, you know, as they say, prices and rentals are beginning to soften. You've done well. This might be the time to diversify away somewhat from being 90% in real estate. I mean, I own my home and a summer home, and I also own REITs, some REITs, real estate investment trusts, but most of my other assets are in stocks on a global and national basis.
Doctor, do you see the same thing in commercial real estate? Because commercial real estate, some of these big high-rises that my clients have investment in it, it's not an easy liquidation situation right now. Do you see the same challenges with commercial real estate?
Well, now there's two very different commercial real estate markets. The office building market is suffering, and we all know why, because of COVID and people not coming back to work. The residential real estate market is doing extremely well. So you have what's called a bifurcation of these markets. There's also other real estate that's doing, industrial real estate is doing well, a data center real estate is doing well, cell tower real estate is doing well, although I hear some prices are beginning to come down. So the question is, if you own condos, livable, et cetera, you've done very well. If you own commercial buildings, not so well.
Very good. Professor Siegel, as economic and political issues in the market continues, do you see more opportunities for investing outside the United States of America?
Well, international investing has been disappointing, I will admit, over the last 10 years. You know, I'm in 1 month, I have a new book coming out, the sixth edition of Stocks for the Long Run. You mentioned in my introduction, I talk about the problems with international investment. But when I look on a forward-looking basis, their valuations are so reasonable that they don't need much positive news to give you a good return. And in fact, their dividends are 3, 4, 5% and more. So if you're looking for income and stable income at a reasonable price, International investments now might be the place to be. It could be one of your diversified holdings in your portfolio.
I've been actually recommending that as well, based on what I heard from you and the other groups that we are in touch. At one time, you know, if I'm not mistaken, U.S. GDP used to be, I don't know, 39, 40% of the global economy, but obviously that's not the case now. Diversifying outside the United States obviously means a lot. And also the fact that you could be more diversified, as you referred to, not putting all the eggs in one basket, that's great. You know, given the performance of your index, Professor Siegel, with the Annexus Group and our clients, because we are heavily invested in your index, and you're doing an amazing job. There's not a day that our clients don't look at the return of their investment and they say, wait a minute, I thought NASDAQ is down 20-30%. Haas Siegel Index is up.
Yeah.
And double digits.
We concentrate on valuations, and we were out of all those high flyers when they were unreasonably priced. So we have a strategy that does follow some momentum, but we also have a policy that follows value. And that value strategy has made us avoid those unreasonable high flyers that we all know last year went to unsupportable levels.
Doctor, referring to your index, mainly do you concentrate on technology stocks, or you have certain preference that you might want to imply to, or that's your secret?
Well, I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, it's based on, we have some momentum in it, so we get into sectors that are doing well, but we also then have sectors that we overweight because of their valuation. And it rotates, because we change every so often and look at what their valuation is. So we rebalance our portfolio in that direction. So it's a matter of some momentum strategy coupled with a value, basic value strategy that is frequently updated.
Well, blending in your Annexus Design Index with the guarantee of principle that it's additional topic, our clients are in a very, very safe situation. I want, on behalf of everybody, to thank you, because, as I said, you know, it's been an amazing year for your index and thousands of our clients that are invested in it. On behalf of them, I want to thank you. And then we had a privilege of having Dr. Robert Shiller here in 2017. So hopefully we could see you, Professor, in Los Angeles and to be our guest one day, maybe.
Yes. I don't know when I will be back there, but I know the weather is absolutely lovely and enticing, and certainly we can be contact when if I get to that part of the country.
It would be wonderful. It was a pleasure talking to you, speaking to you. Look forward to see you in our future meetings. And job well done, Professor Jeremy Siegel. And we wish you a very, very great day and many, many more years ahead of you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with all of you. And that's all I'll hope for, as I believe there will be a good market in the second half of the year.
Very good. We look forward. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.